You're with SBS Radio.
Yeah, that's right. So last week there was a sentencing hearing that found Isas Khan guilty of carrying out an act of terror in 2016 when he stabbed his neighbour in Sydney's southwest. But at this hearing, Isas Khan said that he also at that time had planned to visit Sydney University and to attack anyone wearing a kippah there. Yes, this has obviously just been revealed last week. So the University of Sydney Vice Chancellor Dr. Michael Spence met with representatives of the Jewish community in Sydney, including Leslie Berger, the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies President, representatives from AUJUS, the Australian Union of Jewish Students, and including their Sydney Uni representatives. In a show of solidarity, they met at the university a few days ago. Dr. Spence called this revealed plot deeply disturbing, and he said, "We as a community reject religious hatred in all its forms and stand behind the Jewish community with which we share close ties." The university confirmed that Khan is no longer a student there and it is not aware of any current threat to students or staff at the university. Mr. Berger called the revelation shocking. He said it's a reminder of the importance of communal security and of the real threat facing members of the community. And he said it also reinforces the damage that can be caused by hate speech and by demonization of Israel. Australian Union of Jewish Students Political Affairs Director Joshua Kirsch told the Jewish News to hear a threat like that sends a chill through Jewish students at the university. And Janine Joseph, who's the AUJUS president at the uni, said now more than ever we have to work together to stamp out anti-Semitism and keep students safe.
Shane, I just want to remind you that just last week in Germany, Jews were told not to wear a kippah in public. I mean, the threat was, that man was plotting to kill university students at Sydney University that are wearing kippah. In Germany last week, Jews were told, do not wear kippah in public. This is very disturbing. And at the JCA fundraising, was huge fundraising event last week, the guest speaker was Bernard-Henri Lévy from France. And he was talking about anti-Semitism today, how it is growing and also under disguise of hating Israel. This is very disturbing.
Yes, absolutely. So he brought up a very relevant topic at the JCA event, which was attended by 1,700 people at Sydney's Horden Pavilion. So he said, while interviewed by Dr. Avril Alba, that there's three pillars of anti-Semitism: condemning Israel as a fascist state, denying the Holocaust, and accusing Jews of claiming the crown of suffering and thereby overshadowing the distress experienced by others. So he said the best way to respond to that is by telling the truth. He said, the generation of my grandfather and of my father believed that the less we are Jews, the better we keep anti-Semitism at a distance. But today, we believe exactly the opposite. He said we should be proud of being Jews and always tell the truth about Jews and about Israel.
But Shane, we know that, look, in Germany in the 1920s, the 1930s, the German Jews were most assimilated into society. Jews all over Eastern Europe, you could identify them in the street as Jewish. They were dressed differently. They spoke Yiddish. The German Jews spoke German perfectly. They dressed like their neighbors, and they integrated really well into the society. That did not stop anti-Semitism in Germany. So that is the lesson that he's talking about 60, 70, 80 years later.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think a lot of people would have got a lot out of hearing such a great philosopher and thinker.
And we are talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News, and you're listening to SBS Radio broadcasting around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, the election's behind us, but there is a new leader, a new opposition leader, a new Labour leader, Anthony Albanese. What is the reaction in the Jewish community?
It's been mostly positive. Albanese was confirmed as the Labour leader, and Richard Marles was expected to be the deputy. So of Albanese, of course, he was a founder of the Federal Parliamentary Friends of Palestine. However, Jewish communal leaders also did stress that he has long supported a two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian issue, in addition to rejecting the anti-Israel boycott movement, which most notably in 2011 in Sydney, when the defunct Marrickville Council at the time called for a boycott on Israel, Albanese strong in condemning that. The new Labor member for McNamara in Melbourne, Josh Burns, who is Jewish and a staunch Zionist, praised Albanese for his stance on against BDS. And he said Albo has always had an open door to the Jewish community, including being an annual speaker at the Australasian Union of Jewish Students political training seminars. As for Miles, he spoke at the Zionist Federation of Australia's biennial conference last year, at which he described the, quote, palpable sense of cause about Israel when he first visited to be utterly intoxicating, and he reaffirmed Israel's right to exist peacefully and to protect its own population. The Executive Council of Australian Jewry has written to both Mr. Albanese and Mr. Miles to congratulate them, and its CEO Peter Wertheim, he did note that of the historic links between Labor in Australia and their UK counterparts, of course, we're talking about the UK Labor Party led by Jeremy Corbyn. They did write a letter to Albanese, a congratulatory one, but they also wrote, "We would welcome a statement making it clear that the Australian Labor Party totally rejects the anti-Semitism racking its UK counterpart, and that there will be no intention of the ALP of going down that same foreign and defence policy path."
Shane, before I let you go, I just wanted to mention the Lowy family, the famous Lowy family. There are reports in Israel that Frank Lowy, founder of Westfield, actually made Aliyah and went to live in Israel recently. And what's the story about his son?
Yeah, so his son, Stephen Lowy, he's the newly installed Keren Hayesod UIA World Board of Trustees Chairman. So this is a very, very significant position in world Jewry. Of course, he was a well-known Sydney businessman and philanthropist. He was chair for some time of the Football Federation of Australia. And in an interview with us, Stephen said he feels an obligation to do what he can for Israel in his new role. And he said he outlined a number of challenges too that Keren Hayesod United Israel Australia faces as it prepares to mark its 100th anniversary next year. So some of these: increasing youth engagement, Holocaust remembrance, and also helping Israelis who live under the poverty line improve their lives and make Israel a more equal society.
Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist, The Australian Jewish News. Thank you so much and have a great week.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.